chapter. I'll tell you what I want you to do first, though. I want you to turn over to Hebrews, the 11th chapter. And I want you to hold your finger in Hebrews 11. And then I want you to turn to Matthew 6. And when you get that done, let's stand together. I saw moths flying. Oh, no, maybe it wasn't. People's opening their Bible for the first time in a long time, but no, I'm teasing. I know you use that on a daily basis. You better. Oh, I got that from Carol Woodall. I've used it a lot. About wore it out. Okay. Matthew 6, and beginning with verse 5. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corner of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when you pray, use not vain repetition, as the heathens do, for they think that they shall be heard for much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father, pay close attention. This is great. For your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask Him. A lot of times our prayer consists of, like, we're giving God information that He doesn't know. He does know. After this manner therefore pray ye: Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts. Pay close attention, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, if you forgive men their trespasses, what do you do when you trespass? What do you do when you trespass? You step over the line somewhere where you should not have, onto their property. You've invaded their, what was personal to them. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. So what if we don't? But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Now go over to Hebrews 11 and look at verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. What a verse. Father, we come before Your throne of grace and mercy today. We commit this time into Your hands. Lord, I pray for myself that You would open my mind and my heart, that You'd speak through me, that it would not be me. Wouldn't be of me. Wouldn't be my own agenda. It'd be of You. And Lord, I pray that You would open the heart and the eyes and the spiritual eyes of the congregation. That You would speak to hearts today. I pray that Satan would be bound, that Jesus Christ would be lifted up and glorified. I pray for that individual that is having so much trouble right now concentrating or wrapping their mind around what is going on right now in this service, that you just clear things up for them, that you would move those obstacles and those mountains that are in the way. I pray, Lord, that you would remove any kind of thought that they have that would be obstructing your word in their heart today, and let them believe in you. God, I pray for faith for the hearer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now some of this is going to be a rerun because it's been 2 weeks since you heard it. So I'm going to rush back through some of the things so I can just bring you up to speed to where we're going to be at on this issue of prayer. I don't know if anything that's more important for us to learn about than prayer. I don't know if anything that's more important for us to do than to pray. Jesus gives us an awesome example of praying. Now, I wanted today to be able to get into Jesus' prayers and the different times that he prayed, but time will not allow it today. But we're going to talk about our own praying and how for us to pray and how the Lord teaches us to pray. When you pray, Jesus said in Matthew, the 6th chapter, first of all, in verse 5, he says, don't be a hypocrite. They pray to be seen of men. We know what a hypocrite is. A hypocrite is a play actor. Can you imagine someone standing before a congregation that should be a spiritual leader and yet stand and pray for the people in the congregation to hear, praying to the people of the congregation? Lord, forgive those deacons, for they know not what they do. Can you imagine standing in? You're supposed to laugh over that. That's supposed to have been kind of funny. I've heard of people praying over the meal, and they prayed for the cooks that they didn't know what they was doing. But we're not to pray for people. We're not praying to the congregation. I've heard preachers pray, and they get started preaching as they was praying. It's almost, do I do that? I probably do that. So everybody's kind of walling their eyes like, perhaps I do that. We're not to do that. We're not to be a hypocrite when we pray. We're to pray to our Heavenly Father. So, don't pray to be seen of men. Secondly, verse 6, go to your secret place, your very secret place. Now, most houses in the day in which Jesus was teaching this did not have closets. Was he talking about clothes, closets like we have today? Probably not. Probably not. Now, if you saw inside our closet, you'd think that it would be crazy for a person to go in our closet to pray. But some people clean their closet out and make a war room there, and I think that that's fine. That's great. But he's talking about a very secret place. Someone has said, after you shut the door, after you have closed the door, in other words, when you get everything blocked out, maybe it's closing your eyes. But when you come to that place that you can block everything else out, that very secret place, and you block out everything else, and then you commune with God. I have trouble paying attention. I realize that. And sometimes when folks are trying to get my attention, they know Because I'm looking around them and I'm looking at what's going on back there, and they're trying to carry on a conversation with me, and they get me by the face and pull me back to reality and say, are you hearing what I'm saying? It's always kind of comical when someone hasn't been around me a whole lot and they're trying to talk to me sitting in one of the chairs in the office, and I'm looking out the door to see what's going on out in the foyer, and then they're looking out in the foyer to see what is going on. And I don't mean to do that, but here God is talking about having our full attention. And you know what? When we have His full attention, He has our full attention. When we close the door, when we block everything else out, enter the closet and shut the door. Eugene Peterson puts it this way in his description of this verse. And when you come before God, don't turn that into a theatrical production either. All these people making a regular show out of their prayers, hoping for stardom. Do you think God sits in a box seat? Here's what I want you to do. Find a quiet, secluded place so you won't be tempted to role play before God. Just be there as simply and honestly as you can manage. The focus will shift from you to God, and you will begin to sense His grace. The world is full of so-called prayer warriors who are prayer arrogant. They're full of formulas and programs and advice and peddling techniques for getting what you want from God. Don't fall for that nonsense. This is your Father you're dealing with, and He knows better than you what you need. We just read that. With a God like this loving you, you can pray very simply like this. And then He repeats the Lord's Prayer. Secondly, the Lord compares a persistent friend to our prayers. Look at Luke, the 11th chapter, and look at verse 5. And He said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine is in a journey, is come to me, and I have nothing set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in the bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? Now, we're going to get in just a little bit later. We're going to get into what He was talking about. He that asked the Holy Spirit, would He give it to him? Because we know from the Scripture that the Holy Spirit comes to make His living in us. In other words, He comes to live in us is what I meant to say. He comes to live in us and abide in us. That is a mystery that the Bible talks about. That's almost, we don't understand it. We just know that it's real. We just accept it. Just like we do electricity. We turn the light on, there it is. We accept that the Holy Spirit has come to live and make his abode in our heart and life if we are a Christian. If we've asked Jesus to come into our heart to be our Savior, the Holy Spirit comes to live and abode in our heart and our life. And we're going to learn a little bit later that we don't know what to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays through us with groanings that cannot be uttered. We don't know. Matter of fact, he said, week before last, I talked about this, we don't know what to pray for. Now here in this passage, Jesus said that there was things that we could do. We could be persistent in our prayers. We could knock. We could ask. We could seek. So, what has happened in the life of most Christians in their prayer life? I would surmise that in the prayer life of most Christians, that they have given up. I mean, they're still praying, but they don't really expect God to respond. When we pray, Lord, I just pray for everybody, and I've heard this several times, I just pray for everybody who it's my duty to pray for. So I won't ever put God on the spot and say, Lord, if it's your will, let it be like this. And if you want to close that door, close that door. When we pray, we have to be cautious that we're not like a hypocrite, Jesus said. And also that when we pray, and we're going to talk about this just a little bit later, we have to be very cautious that we are not selfish for things that we don't need. I think that it's okay for me to be selfish to pray for my grandchildren to have revival in their lives. To wake up to the Spirit of God moving. To see God move. To witness something in life and be able to say, God did that. God did that. God must be moving here. So I think that in that way of selfishness, God is okay with that. That we move in that kind of way. My kids and my grandkids don't need to be successful financially. Is that crazy? I'm telling you, folks, we don't either. It might be what we want. But how would that stand between us and what God wants? I mean, if every need is met, what would that do with our prayers? Where would that put us praying? You know what? If you have a perfect family, you probably don't need to come on Sunday night to the prayer meetings. I mean, if your kids are right where they need to be, and your grandkids are right where they need to be, you probably don't need to be coming on Sunday night, because you're going to be sitting shoulder to shoulder with somebody that's got trouble. So you probably don't need to come. If everything is going smooth on the job, and that you don't feel like that there's someone taking the wires off, you probably don't need to come. You probably don't need to even be hearing these messages on praying. But I'm telling you, in my life and in my family, it seems to me like that we go from one catastrophe to another. It seems to me like that every time we get the wheels on and get them rolling, that one of them will fall off. And sometimes it's one of the family members that are taking the lug bolts off. Are you not there? Is that not the way it is? Well, I'm telling you, folks, that we have an enemy. And I'm glad, aren't you? We've got an enemy, the devil. And he's going to do all that he can to destroy all that Jesus is doing in our lives. And so it is desperate that we pray. What do you think Jesus' prayers were like? We've got some of them recorded. But when he was praying for his disciples, Lord, make everything go smooth for them. Don't let them have any pressure or any trouble. Am I quoting that right? That's not right, is it? No, he began to talk about them being one as we are one. Talk about their love for one another and their love for the Father, and that they would be able to identify the love of the Father in themselves. So he gives us three things here. One thing he's talking about is persistence. That we be persistent in our praying. If you've got a wayward son or grandson or granddaughter or daughter, you don't need to give up praying. Do you remember my hillbilly come out there just a little bit? Do you remember what happened in the prodigal's life? Now, how many of us would pray for that to happen in our sons and daughters' lives if they were away from the Lord? It broke him. He found himself in the pig pen. He found himself in the pig pen, and he became aware that he was in the pig pen. I want to tell you something, folks. When folks become aware that they're in the pig pen, or they may not look like they're in the pig pen. I mean, they may come all dressed up, but they're in the pig pen. But when they realize that they're in the pig pen, that's a good place to be. That's a good place to be. I talked to a man a while back and I asked that person, do you know you're lost? Oh yeah, I know I'm lost. That's a good place to be. Amen. Now, I'm not talking to the saved here. I'm talking to the lost. If you're lost and you know you're lost, that's a good place to be. To know that you're lost. It's not a good place to be lost, but it's a good place to know that you're lost. That if you were to die, that you'd go to hell. And so, what are you going to do about it? What will you do about it? So you know that you're lost. So you've got a choice. You can make a decision to accept Christ as your Savior and invite Him into your heart and allow Him to change your life. We're to ask, seek, and to knock for our own lives and the lives of our family. When do you ask? When you have a legitimate need. You ask for legitimate needs. When do you seek? When you're trying to find. Yeah, why would you be looking for something that you hadn't lost or that you didn't need to find? You do that to find. When do you knock? When you need that door opened. So what does God require of us when we pray? Look with me at Psalms, right in the middle of your Bible. Psalm 66. And look at verse 17. I cried unto him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue. Verse 18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Verse 19. But verily God hath heard me, He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, which I hath not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. So, what God requires of us when we pray is, number one, is a pure heart. Secondly, when we pray, we're to pray believing. Look back at Matthew. This time, Matthew 21. Matthew 21 and verse 21. And Jesus answered and said unto them, Verily, I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not, if you have faith and doubt not, you shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if you shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. Believing. Remember Hebrews 11:6? They that call on God must believe that He is, and that He is the rewarder of them that seek Him. Believing, trusting God that He is going to do it. And then we're to pray what we pray in Jesus' name. In John the 14th chapter. John 14, look at verse 13. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And then, of course, what God requires of us when we pray is that we pray according to His will. 1 John. Get way back over toward the end. 1 John, the 5th chapter. This new Bible doesn't come apart like it. I'm accustomed to here. I'm having to search. 1 John 5 and verse 14. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desire of Him. So, when is it that our own prayers move heaven? And we've heard testimonies of the prayers of George Mueller, and he would sit at the table when there was no food on the table for the orphanage, and he would thank God for the food. And then a knock would come on the door and someone would be standing there with food. So when is it that it's not George Mueller, but it is us, and it's our prayers that move heaven? When we have gathered corporately, or when we have gone to our very secret place, and when we have closed the door, and it is our prayer that is moving heaven to action. When does that happen? When we come before Him with humility and repentance. Second Chronicles says, If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, turn from their wicked way, seek my face, then I will hear from heaven, I will answer their prayer, and I'll heal their land. So Gwen and I were talking about this verse yesterday. What is it that we're not doing? What is it in our own lives that is preventing us from shaking heaven with our prayers? Have we not turned from our sin? Is there those things in our life that we want to keep in a closet that we go and open the door and involve ourselves in every once in a while and then close the door and keep it a secret to everyone else? What is it in our sin? If we would turn from our sin, are we not humbling ourselves before the Lord? If my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways. Are we not humbling ourselves before God? Are we not in that place of humility for God to really deal with our life? Are we failing to be desperate? To be desperate? Have you ever been desperate? I mean, really desperate for God to move? That the situation call for desperateness in our lives? This is my fear. Is that we're desperate, but we don't know we're desperate. That we're in a desperate situation, but we our head has become so clouded with all the things of the world that we don't realize that we're desperate. But we are desperate. I brag sometimes about how much I love my kids. And when folks are having marital trouble, I have said to my friends and my wife, if I had to sleep in my truck for my kids to have a daddy, that's what I'd do. Amen. That sounds big, doesn't it? But why is it that I won't bow my head and pray and seek God's will for their lives? If I'm willing to do that, why is it that I'm not willing to pour out my heart to God day after day, minute after minute, hour after hour for their lives? I'm wondering if it's not a put on. Because I know in my own self that I'm not praying like I could pray or like I should pray. And I'm not turning like I should turn. And I'm not humbling myself as I should humble myself. I know deep within that there is that is lacking in my own self for their lives and for their futures. Look at Luke 18. Look at verse 10. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Sounds good, huh? Little patting on the back on himself. Broke his elbow, patting himself on the back. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And then the Lord says, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. When does our prayers move heaven? When we are at one with other believers. When we are at one with other believers. Matthew 18 and verse 19. Look at verse 19 with me. Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. In Acts, we talked about this, Brother Leon, Thursday morning. Acts, the first chapter. Acts 1, I'll get to it. You're probably already there. Acts 1 and look at verse 14. Acts 1 and verse 14. These all continued with one accord. What was that next thing they were doing? In prayer. These all continued in one accord in prayer. In one accord in prayer. In one accord in prayer. And supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. They all had a common goal and they had a common purpose. When we are persistent, Luke 18, and verse 1, stay with me. And he spake a parable to them, to this end, that men ought always to pray, not to faint. Any of you fainting this morning? Some of you getting in a good nap. I don't know if you fainted or not. But verse 2, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded men. Or man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterwards he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith, and shall not God... Listen to me. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, look at it, shall he find faith on the earth? And then Paul tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 17, pray without ceasing. Always pray. Always be in a mode of prayer. But let me clear that up. I have folks that have said to me, I'm just always in a mode of prayer. But I'm suspicious if they don't ever go to their closet, if they're really in the mode of prayer. I'm suspicious if they never come to church, if they're really in the mode of prayer. or if they ever come to a prayer meeting, if they're ever in a mode of prayer, or if they never lead in prayer, or I never hear them pray, if they're always in a mode of prayer. Paul said, pray without ceasing by the inspiration of the Spirit. Let's stand together.